Well, good morning to you all, and despite the fact that the heating seems to be in something of a go slow, a very warm welcome to everybody this morning. A welcome back to our interim moderator, Isabel Buchan, who's conducting the service for us. And of course this morning, a very specially warm welcome for a man we've been waiting for eagerly for some time, the Reverend Atty van Wyk. We're going to hear from him later in the service, but just so you know who he is and where he is, Atty, could you just stand up and thank you. After the service, as always, there's the opportunity to come through to the church hall and have a cup of tea or coffee with us and a chat. And if you're free to do that, you're very welcome to do so. Notices are on the bulletin. I draw your attention particularly to the community Cayley. There's a poster for it as well, I think, which will end up on the notice board if there's not one there already. On Saturday, the 23rd of February, a community event to welcome Atty to Lambrides. The rest of the notices are there. The only other thing, well, I would highlight Connect next Sunday morning, and we're looking at the Lord's Prayer there. And I should perhaps mention that we've got our Urquhart service tonight at 7 o'clock in St. Margaret's Hall, and we're looking at the theme of God being trustworthy. That's tonight's service. One other notice which I've been given, and it's an issue that has arisen partly in connection with the Tenant Arms saga in Lambrides. It's about the potential loss of a long-established right-of-way. And Innes Community Council would like to hear from any of the members, perhaps particularly older members, who can remember walking to the school at St Andrews or walking through the Crooked Wood to Urquhart. So if you've got any memories of that and you can help or point the Community Council in the right direction, could you please speak to Sandy Anderson as soon as possible? Okay? I think these are all the announcements. Thank you.
Morning. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." So let us worship God, singing together from CH4 352, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise."
Thank you.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there is no part of life you do not touch. Infusing your rich fragrance, getting in underneath the surface, drawing out and lifting up, winding love around until defenses are lowered, barriers broken down, and the power of your love revealing the beauty you intended for all your children. Merciful God, creator of all that is, seen and unseen, our delight is in your word, and we have a deep sense of your presence when we allow it to fill our lives night and day. For the times when we listen to the advice of those who rebel against you, Lord, have mercy. For those times when we can be found with those who scorn, Christ, have mercy. We experience your blessings like a tree that's planted beside a never-failing stream. But for those times when we do not bear the fruits of your abundance, Lord, have mercy. Loving, merciful God, may our actions draw attention to you, to the richness you bring to all life, and the abundance you share, setting the scene for us to share too. Help us to bring light into all the darkness of life, spreading hope for a better world, a world where justice is made real by your children living together in harmony. Help us to bring salt into the blandness of life, encouraging vitality and joy in living in a world that dares to hope for the future that you promise, where all your children will know themselves loved and valued and treasured, created in your image, bringing you glory forever. And hear us now as we pray in the words Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We continue our praise from CH4 641. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
readings today. Our first one is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, and you'll find that on page 968 of the Pew Bibles. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Everyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches other to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." And our second reading is 1 Psalm verses 1 to 3. And that's on page 542 in the Pew Bibles. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers." Amen.
Thank you. We continue our praise with CH4 596, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you still speak today. As we read your word and hear it proclaimed today, may it be to us as if the heavens are opening and your spirit descending, revealing your love for us as your sons and daughters. May we respond in humility, dedication, and service in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. We hear a lot today about bucket lists, and usually it involves a story around a person, perhaps who is dying. Sadly, often a youngster or a young parent with young children. And our heartstrings are stretched and pulled. And we sympathize and we feel how awful it must be. We may even donate towards the appeals. I'm not sure where the idea of bucket lists first arose, but perhaps it was from that film a number of years ago, out of Hollywood, of course, that centered around a couple of aging senior citizens who came up with the idea of making a list of do before we die escapades. In the film, the two then set out like a couple of out of control adolescents, fulfilling each thing on their list. Or maybe it was fun to watch, and certainly it would have been for those who went to see it, I'm sure. But when a young person is dying in real life, it can seem perhaps the last thing that's possible to do for that person. And if you view this life as all there is, then maybe the idea of such a list is valid enough. And looking at it in that light, it can make perfect sense to put together your own bucket list of wonderful things you've always dreamed of doing or wanted to be able to do, outrageous or not. Why not do them while you can? Get it all in, all done, before death, before oblivion. But is that the way we see life? God certainly doesn't see it that way. But God has his own list for us. We are here for a purpose, to fulfill his purpose. And that purpose is certainly not to check off a wish list of things we've always dreamed of doing, and certainly not of comic hijinks before we kick the bucket. We know that this life is not all that there is. We're not just here today and gone tomorrow. We are God's beloved, here to return his love in this world and be with him in the next. We are only visitors, if you like, here, just briefly passing through, following Jesus on our way home to the Father. But first, in the first 12 verses Margaret read from Matthew 5 this morning, we find Jesus giving a kind of preparatory list for his disciples. The crowds have been following Jesus. He sees them, he has compassion on them, but he goes up a mountainside followed by his disciples. And the disciples come to him and he begins to teach them. Note, the Sermon on the Mount wasn't given to everyone in the first instance. It was given to disciples, not to the large crowds. Jesus knew that he could never have the time to reach all by himself, so he was driven to get alone with his disciples. He had to begin preparing them for their ministry to the crowds. And his words here also are there to prepare us for our ministries. And seldom in history have so few words been spoken with so much meaning. The Beatitudes of our Lord are powerful, holding before the world a descriptive picture of the true disciple of God. The Beatitudes cover the glorious hope and reward that the believer can expect now as well as in eternity. And he begins with the list that we call the Beatitudes, the blessings and attitudes with which we should follow him, by which disciples should follow him. The first 12, all down the ages, who accept him as their Saviour and Lord, down to even you and me. The poor in spirit will be given the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn, their blessing is to be comforted. The meek will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. The merciful will be blessed and obtain mercy. The pure in heart will be blessed by seeing God. The peacemakers, they will be called the children of God. Those persecuted for righteousness' sake will be blessed and given the kingdom of heaven. But what he adds at the end is something we find much harder to take on board. For Jesus tells his disciples that they are blessed when they are insulted and persecuted and lied about because of their faith in him. And as if that wasn't enough, he goes on to say, rejoice and be glad. Really? Because their reward is great in heaven. For they are only suffering the same as the prophets who went before them. The disciples, as you and me, may know that that can be true, but it isn't really something we relish the thought of, is it? And as you and Atty begin this year together, learning and growing together in Christ, each of you will be expected to live with these very attitudes towards each other, as well as in your witness and life among your neighbours, your colleagues, and the society in which you live and wherever God leads you. Like Jesus, we may see the crowds, the people around us who know not Christ, and have compassion on them and feed them in Jesus' name. The Christian has to be poor in spirit. It's not talking of poor in the poverty-stricken in the material sense, but we are not to be full of ourselves, rather acknowledging our utter lack in facing life and eternity without God. The person who is poor in spirit approaches life in humility and appreciation, not as though life owes him, but rather by contributing all that he can to a needy world out of a spirit of appreciation of God's gift to us in Christ. Blessed is he who mourns, has a broken heart, like someone mourning the death of a loved one. It is a brokenness of self, a sorrow for sin, that comes from seeing Christ on the cross and realizing that our sins put him there too. And Jesus promises that we shall be comforted. In a similar way, disciples have a strong but tender and humble life, a strong yet teachable spirit, strong yet humble and tender, and is disciplined. A person disciplined because he is God controlled, which leads to hungering and thirsting, being righteous and doing what is righteous, for it needs both. And add to this being merciful. That is, the disciple must have a forgiving spirit and a compassionate heart, showing mercy, being benevolent towards others. Disciples have to be pure in heart, a clean heart, to be unsoiled, unmixed, unpolluted, to be cleansed and purged and forgiven, to be holy, to to have a single purpose, that of God's glory. And are you and I always peacemakers? For as disciples, we are to bring people together, but we can only be such peacemakers when we have made peace with God and know the peace of God. Peacemakers love peace, not passively accepting trouble, but seeking to reconcile and solve and settle under God. We've already spoken about being persecuted for Christ's sake, and haven't we seen that in recent years and days? In Iraq, in Egypt, in Syria, in India, and many other places around the world, where death is never far away. And although different, Christians are not immune from insult and ridicule, being lied about or challenged here in our very own country. That is the Christian life and witness that God is calling you and me to live in all of life's aspects, with each other, in our families, among our work friends, and strangers alike. But Jesus goes on from there, and he begins to spell out ways in which his disciples must live and behave. The ways in which we live out our purpose, as we mentioned earlier. Two such ways are spelt out in the passage read this morning. He says we are to be salt and light. And he gives us our bucket list, if you like, of how we should be in character and attitudes and relationships with one another, and begins to reveal why we are here and what our purpose is. And he tells us what God's to-do list is for us. He gives us, if you like, God's bucket list and asks us to do. But this is not a list of suggestions that we can pick and choose. It is the will of God for your life and mine, for all who follow Christ. Why are we here? What is our purpose? Jesus tells us, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its flavor, it is then good for nothing but to be cast down and trodden underfoot. We receive the gift of grace for a reason. Christ is calling us to discipleship. His grace is ours to be shared. The purpose of our discipleship is to create more disciples, leading family or friends or neighbors or colleagues or strangers closer to God's love. Further, he tells us, you are light to the world. That certainly is a glorious way of expressing God's favor, but it comes with an enormous obligation. For we must let our light shine before men, that they may see our good deeds and as a result glorify our Father who is in heaven and want to know him for themselves. That's the reason we are here, to love God and as his disciples to extend his love to others. It's a very short to-do list, but it will take a lifetime to fulfill. We hold on to or waste his grace at our peril. Our loving God is just God. He is not to be trifled with. His priorities have to be our priorities. His will isn't something that we can get around to when we've got the time. Thy will be done, we pray. And it should be a constant refrain in our prayers. It has to be a constant focus in our lives. The Sermon on the Mount is so powerfully succinct and comprehensive that we might be tempted to look at this as a kind of new covenant of Christ. But we cannot ignore all that has come before to understand and fulfill our calling in Christ. We need to understand all that God was doing right from the beginning, and which prepared his people for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, and all that follows in Jesus to the present day. Christianity isn't a rejection of Judaism, as Jesus himself made clear at the end of that passage when he tells them, "I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." So add another item to God's to-do list. We must know God if we are to love God. And the more we know, the more we love. That is why we study the scriptures, both Old and New Testaments. It is our window into the wonder of God. It is the pillar of our faith, and demonstrated through the prophets and supremely, of course, in Jesus, God's Son, our Saviour, and our Lord. The reasons Christians don't have a bucket list of their own is because we don't kick the bucket, as people say. Rather, we have a to-do list of God's purposes and God's gifts. Today, you start on a new adventure of faith together, Atty and you and Tim and everyone, God's people here. Your to-do list remains the same, and God will reveal to you all the vision he wants you to follow. In the year ahead, you are called to salt the way and the people around you, and to let your light shine in the dark places. It is an ongoing task. You and all disciples will never check them off. We just keep sharing them all the way home. Amen. Our offering will now be received. Let us pray. All that we are, O God, and all we are called to be, we bring to this special moment of offering and hope. Receive these gifts, and in your wisdom, may they and we be salt and light in our fellowship and in our daily lives to all around us, and for all whom we meet, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I suppose I had thought that I might do the kind of thing that they seem to do in these shows, where when the star of the show is about to appear, you know, the hands go up and they shout, "The moment you've all been waiting for." But I didn't think it was quite me. So, Atty, could I ask you to come forward? Atty, you have travelled far, much further than any of us have travelled today, and come with a rather warmer climate. He was telling me it was 41, over 41 when he left. Not quite minus, but we're almost there. But you arrived at the coldest period of this winter so far, although I must say it wasn't as cold as where I was earlier on in the week, when we had to chip the snow and the ice off the car before we could get into it, which was down in the middle belt. So it's much better up here. And usually we say that, you know, it's not really that bad. And we try to make you feel better. Well, I'm going to break with that tradition too and say it gets a lot worse than this at times. But this is more than made up for, Atty, by the warmth, the support, the encouragement and the love you will receive from this congregation and from everyone here. Speaking from experience of being a stranger here almost 3 years ago, I can tell you they have been the friendliest, most supportive, most encouraging and liveliest congregation I have known. You've travelled from Craddock in South Africa to Llanbryde in Moray, Scotland. There will be much that's now very different, but there will be many things that won't be so different. Except maybe is that the pews collapsing at the back? There will be new ways of doing things and new people to get to know, as well as getting to know these eager people here, which they'll take every opportunity in a few moments when we go through for tea. But you have ministered in South Africa since your ordination. You know what ministry is, you know what it is to worship, and they aren't so very different, I'm sure. But you will learn and grow together. And I'm sure you'll find even more so that you have a mutual ministry. They will minister as much to you as you will to them. I'm sure you'll find great blessing as you commence your ministry here together. And you will all find the vision that God will reveal to you all as you work forward and walk forward together in the Lord. On behalf of all here, Atty, and from our presbytery, may I welcome you and pray God's blessing as you grow and learn from one another in the days that lie ahead. Welcome, and I'm sure everyone here.
Thank you very much.
Alistair.
Thank you.
On behalf of all of us, Atty, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you
very much. And Alistair has a letter he wants to read, and if you would like to say something after that.
Atty handed me this morning this letter from the, let me get it right, from the chairperson of the North Craddock North Church Council and the secretary, and here it is. It's to all of us. Dear fellow Christians, it was with sadness and heavy hearts we had to say goodbye to our minister, Atty van Wyk. Atty, as everyone called him here, was extremely well loved in our congregation. To us, he was a brother, a son, a friend, and then also our minister. The Lord has blessed Atty with many talents, but may I mention only two. Atty has been blessed with a wonderful ability to bring the Word of God. He doesn't preach, he shares the Word of God with us. And then he has the most beautiful music talent. I can remember many occasions when he gave masterful renditions of Highland Cathedral and Flower of Scotland. May he share our beautiful Afrikaans songs and music with you, and may he bless not only your congregation, but also your community with this wonderful talent he has. I really trust that through his music, you'll learn and experience a little bit of South Africa and Craddock. It is really our prayer that you would not only accept Atty as your minister, but that you will take him into your hearts, into your homes, and into your circle of friends. Make him feel at home and allow him to share his passions of life with you. As our son is now in your midst, our prayers will always be with you. We love him, and therefore we love you. We pray for him, and therefore we pray for you. May our Lord really bless you through that which Atty may bring to your congregation. We therefore pray for you as a congregation and for the Llanbryde community, that our Lord God will bless you and keep you, that the Lord may make his face shine on you and be gracious to you, and that the Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. From your Craddock family in Christ. What a lovely letter. Thank you.
A very good morning to all of you. I really feel humbled standing here this morning and very privileged to be with you. I know that the coherent reason for this, as Reverend Isabel mentioned, is due to the love and grace of our Lord Christ and the work of His Holy Spirit. And this morning my verse passage came from Malachi, and I'm sharing the verse, chapter 1, verse 2 with you, which God says, I love you. Just plain like that, I love you. And we are loved ones. And that, thank you, Isabel, for your lovely words this morning and in the sermon, because that's so truthful. Let's love one another and live the love of Christ out there as well. The previous parish where I served in Craddock North, as you just heard, I haven't read the letter myself or seen the letter, but they send their sincere regards and wants me to convey exactly what Alistair just said. They are praying for you, and thank you for your prayers for them as well. Thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers for myself and the compassionate manner welcoming me. The conversations I already had, the heartwarming emails, the wonderful welcome at the manse. I do thank our Lord for all of this. And I would also like to thank everyone who worked hard, helped, assisted, and organized everything that I've experienced. Where would one find such good-heartedness as I did here? Inviting a complete stranger into your midst, providing a home which is comfortable, a home which is warm, a home with beds and new bedding, and a lot more. Thank you very much. I just told Reverend Isabel that I went with Qatar Airways just to have some more allowance with more baggage to bring with, so maybe I can donate something to the thrift shop later on. And although I'm only doing my familiarization period or placement year, and we do not know each other yet, I do invite you to also walk through the door of the manse and walk into my heart if it's allowed by Christ. Thank you for opening your doors, and thank you for opening your lives. I look forward, if possible, meeting all of you in person to collaborate in our calling to know God more fully, as you say, to love Him more intimately, and to serve Him amongst our neighbors and ourselves. In collaboration with Reverend Isabel Bucking, our moderator, Reverend Jenny Adams, my supervisor during this placement period, and Alistair Rossetta as our session clerk, we will take hands on this new journey together this year. I would like to learn from you the works of this parish and other parishes as well, the Church of Scotland, Scottish culture, Scottish history, and Scotland as a country. A famous South African writer, P.J. Schoeman, once wrote the following. He said, good memories are the firewood for the late nights on the long roads of life. I'm going to read it again. Good memories are the firewood for the late nights on the long roads of our lives. Let's make good memories to keep and to treasure, living in the presence and the love of our living God. Thank you very much for having me.
Yvonne will now lead us in our prayers.
I will end this prayer with a paragraph from the moderator Susan Brown's article in Life and Work. Let us pray. Lord, today our prayers are full of gratitude for the safe arrival of Atty and the hope this brings for a future together where we grow in faith and love. Thank you for our interim moderator, Isabel. She has been a great blessing in the vacancy, not just in worship, but with her support and advice to session and her gentle encouragement. We pray for other churches in the presbytery who are still vacant. Please, Lord, remember them and help them to be patient and not lose hope in the future. We pray in the cold winter weather for all who are homeless. We pray for war-torn countries. We pray for the bereaved, the sick, and those who are lonely. We live in uncertain times, Lord. Please fill anxious hearts with your peace. Please be with Tim as he establishes a group in primary school. And we pray for Connect next Sunday, that families will come and share all the wonderful things that happen there. This February, let's make love real, and let's make it count. Let's deliberately and intentionally go out of our way to make room for the others around us. Let's refuse to let politics or anything else interrupt the love Christ our Lord has for all of us, the love we are called to share without limit and without exception. Amen.
Thank you. Let us close our worship in praise. CH 4512. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. May God's graciousness, mercy, and righteousness fill you and mold you. May we be gracious, merciful, and righteous as we go from here. May we be a light to the world. May we be like salt to the earth. May we be like a city on a hill. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon and remain with you all this day and forevermore.